Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore bringing all the boys to the yard with your milkshake. How's it going?
How old is that reference? Is that reference 10 years old?
It's got to be a while.
I was graduating college when that came out, and that was like fall of 2003, spring of 2004. So yeah. it's been a decade since that reference was modern.
Oh my God, it popped in my head this morning, and I can't get it out. I'm actually not that mad about it. It's a catchy song.
It's a really catchy song.
Yeah,
I get Miley Cyrus's "Party in the USA" stuck in my head all the time.
Oh, I get the other one, the one she started getting in trouble for, the "We Can't Stop" one. That's a catchy ass song too.
I'm on a Katy Perry kick too. I have this weird fascination with Katy Perry.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason I find her to be, I think it's because in California Girls is like, if you notice, it's spelled wrong, and they make sure. Fun of it in the Denver YouTube like mock of it. They make fun of the fact that she spells it wrong, but it's because it's a Big Star reference. Big Star had a song called September Girls, and it's spelled the same way there. So I really appreciate the fact that she has a song which is basically has a subtle reference to Big Star and yet has Snoop Dogg on the track.
Sure.
So I think that's a fantastic kind of cross section.
Yeah. What was that song she had? Firework?
Yeah.
Fireworks pop off. You know who was popping off last night? Rudy Gay with 37 shots.
Smooth transition.
That may be the best one. Jumper. That may be the best one I've ever done.
That was a lot of shots.
That's a lot of shots. And, like, okay, double overtime. I get it. You're going to get some fun numbers when we get to double overtime. But still, 11 for 37 is not the most efficient thing I've ever seen.
Here's part of my thing with the shooting. At some point, because these guys do check the numbers, right? I know that they do. You can say that they don't. They look at the box scores.
Yeah.
They know what they're shooting.
Absolutely.
At some point, you're aware of how badly you're shooting, and yet you keep shooting.
Shooting's really fun. That's the thing that, you know, we criticize these guys, but I have a lot of fun shooting a basketball.
Right, and if it was in a pickup game, I wouldn't matter. I wouldn't care, but he gets paid $16 million a year.
So? That just means he gets more of a right to take a lot of shots.
See, that right there, I think, is a fantastic example of the tension between management, the team, and the player. Because the player's like, you pay me the most, that means you trust me, that means I'm the best, that means I should do what I want. And then meanwhile, management's like, no, I pay you the most, I expect the most out of you. Like, I don't care if so-and-so starts chucking up shots because I can get rid of him. I can't get rid of you. He was three of nine at here. No, oh my God, that's amazing. He only had 9 shots at the half.
I mean, that's what we call a slow burn.
He had 9 shots at the half. He shot 27 times.
This is fresh in my head, just because I saw the movie last night or the night before. No, the night before. It reminded me of the scene in Terminator where he throws like the explosive into the tailpipe of the truck while Arnold Schwarzenegger's driving. And it's like the longest fuse ever. That's what I feel like Rudy Gay warming up for these kind of shots are. Like that 9 attempts in the first half, like that's just that long fuse as Schwarzenegger is driving a truck out of control trying to hit Sarah Connor.
He played 20 minutes and 47 seconds in the second half and took 16 shots in that time period.
I like it. And then so what? He had 11 in the overtimes? 11 in the overtimes is not bad. In a double overtime?
Well, and most of them were like him just relentlessly driving at the rim and throwing it off the backboard. So
yeah. Maybe they were passes.
That was probably my favorite part is that, you know, they're trying to force overtime. They're down 2. He dribbles all the way down until there's 3 seconds left. and throws up the mid-range pull-up ISO jumper, which goes off the backboard and misses so badly that Houston's not in position to rebound it because they can't believe how badly it missed. Amir Johnson gets it, puts it back.
I gotta feel like that's a play.
No!
No, I kind of feel like Dwayne Casey like calls out a play, and Rudy's like, all right, let's go, and he walks out on the floor, and Casey pulls the other four guys back. He's like, look, this is what's going to happen. this is where you need to be in position. Amir, go here.
That game was just awful.
What's more ridiculous, the fact that he was 11 for 37 shooting the ball, or that they had 10 assists as a team in a double overtime game? And really, the DeMar DeRozan assist was quite generous. It could have easily been 9.
The assist is worse. They're related, obviously. But
sure.
The assist is worse because if you had 37 shots and they were all, like, even if you had that bad percentage, but they were all like spot up, like they were just leaving you open and you're traditionally a good spot up shooter and you just kept missing, that I would understand.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I really don't mind it if you keep shooting. If you're like, I've worked to create a situation in which I have a really high percentage chance of this succeeding. I have a problem when you're basically just like, no, this time it's going to work.
Here's a question. I know people have talked about this before. You think they should tack on an extra foul for guys who haven't fouled out once the overtime period start? I kind of wish they would. Like, if you foul out in regulation, you should be disqualified from the rest of the game. But if you have 5 fouls and you go into overtime, I think they should give you an extra foul for each overtime period.
I would actually be more in favor of no, you can do that. I guess. I don't really feel one way or the other about it. I'm kind of the opinion that not fouling is kind of a critical component to managing your minutes and being an NBA player.
Sure. I just feel like, you know, Rudy fouls out, Valanciunas fouls out, Kyle Lowry fouls out, Terrence Ross fouls out. Because it went to double overtime.
Right, but that improved their chances because Rudy Gay was 1 of 6 in the second overtime.
They were able to throw Landry Fields out there and like go win this game for us.
Like, is it Dwight Bukes? Is that kid's
Bikes.
Name?
Dwight Bikes.
Bikes?
Yeah.
Bikes, I think, had a better chance of winning this game than Rudy Gay.
I like him a lot. I'm a Dwight Bikes fan.
You want to be like Bikes?
Oh my god.
What?
I haven't had nearly enough sleep for that.
What? yeah, nobody was good. James Harden on the last position. I drew up a little graphic about it. He's got 3 guys on him and he takes a step back jumper. I just don't understand it.
He's stepping back away from the defense. It's a good shot.
I'm never going to understand it. I'm just never going to understand it. There's something wrong with me where I just don't get the idea of, no, there's 3 guys here.
Remember,
don't worry about it. I got this.
Do you remember when Patrick Beverley was good?
I don't really understand why everyone really got super excited about him after a playoff run. But I like Patrick Beverley because he's went to Arkansas and I liked him. I liked his potential, but I always saw him as more of the like, oh, hey, he plays like, you know, 7 to 14 minutes off the bench and makes a couple shots and not like, oh no, he's like a starter and he's like a beat. I don't know. Like, he has trouble dribbling. Like,
right. He has trouble dribbling a basketball, which is, that's a difficult thing for a point guard. Like, it's almost like he's a very, like, he's a poor version of Avery Bradley, right? Like, you would, like, he's clearly not as good as Avery Bradley, but he's that type of player. So you'd want to play him fewer minutes in that Avery Bradley role, that ideal Avery Bradley role.
He's more of a shooter. You could almost say that Avery Bradley's a poor man's version of. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think they're kind of similar in a lot of ways. They're very similar in a lot of ways.
Is Patrick Beverley going to get Tyronn Lewis? The one playoff run, I'm a little worried about that. It's probably too early to overreact to him. And he was injured for a little bit, but I don't know. He just doesn't look good to me.
Paul George last night in the Pacers-Grizzlies game, he dribbles down court, comes off the screen in mid-transition, and cuts directly parallel to the basket, goes right to the middle, spins, turns, and fading away hits a about 6 foot jumper. That was one of the most beautiful things I saw last night.
Okay.
That was the moment I knew the Grizzlies were screwed. not because it's unlikely that George is going to make that shot, because yeah. I was like, they have no one of this caliber. They have no one that is that good.
You know, you and I don't get things right all that often, but talking about the game that game last night, we kind of nailed that.
Yeah.
It was exactly what we said. I mean, just, God, the Pacers are good.
You beat me last night, by the way. You went 5-4. I went 4-5.
Did I? Oh, that Wolves cover.
That Wolves cover. It was the Wolves cover, and then you also took Atlanta over Charlotte.
So. Oh, that's right.
Don't know what Charlotte's doing. Can't figure it out. They're pretty decent, and yet Al Jefferson comes back and they lose. Don't understand it.
I really do think that Atlanta team is better than they've played. I agree.
I just can't. That's what annoys me about
it. Actually, Millsap wasn't even good.
It's one of the hardest things about doing this. I'm doing these daily picks, and I have to do videos for them and a post about them. And it's really difficult because I keep wanting to be like, you realize, it, day by day, if a team just gets it together, everything changes.
Right.
Like, you know, you've got the, oh, they happen to have it that night, the other team didn't. But you've also got, like, bad teams this early in the season can just flip the switch. And then it's like, oh, no, we're pretty good now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Chicago-Cleveland game was ugly. Andrew Bynum had a really sweet move against Joakim Noah. Kyrie Irving was terrible. Derrick Rose was terrible.
You see Luol Deng shooting 5% from three?
Get that money, Lou.
It's only 18 attempts through, what, six games? But yeah, 5%. Eek.
Jimmy Butler got blocked 4 times last night.
Okay. Good for him.
DeMar DeRozan got blocked 6 times last night.
Okay.
The Boston Celtics are good. You win.
Look at you.
I'm out.
8 games in, you've given up.
I'm out. Jordan Crawford's got 28% assist rate.
Here's the thing. Jordan Crawford is a player. I've been trying to tell people he's a player.
No, but he's abandoned your principles.
No, he's always been this guy.
No, he is. He's passing and shooting with discretion. He's like the anti-you.
I'm telling you, he is setting them up. We're getting a 37 attempt game out of him in the next 2 weeks.
No one should have more attempts than 37. That should be the high for the season. No one.
Well, that was the funny thing. Is like people are like, "Oh, this is typical Rudy Gay." I was like, "I don't know. This is the first time he's ever shot 37 attempts in his career." I don't know if that's typical.
It's not typical for J.R. Smith's perf 36s. This isn't typical for Jordan Crawford. This isn't typical for anyone.
Yeah. Look at Kelly Olynyk, quacking his way to 16-7-5.
Orlando just crapped the bed. Just
maybe this is what we expect from that. Like, they can do it at home, but they can't do it on the road.
Maybe that's it.
And that makes sense.
They lost to Boston at home too.
Yeah, they make sense. You know, it makes sense with such a young team. Even though, I mean, they have enough veterans where that shouldn't be that big of an issue, but they're 0-4 at home, or they're 0-4 on the road so far.
I'm talking myself into Portland as a 5 seed.
As a 5 seed, I don't see them as a 5, but 6 I think is in play because I mean Memphis is just, there's something missing there. What is it? Oh, shooting.
Memphis is the worst kind of poop. It's the poop that you spread, like, when you're walking, and then you're like, oh, no, I have poop on, and then you try and scrape it off.
And it just gets everywhere.
Yeah.
You get it. You accidentally, like, get it on your pant leg at that point.
Well, no, but I don't know how you do that, but.
Well, not the pant leg of the same leg. A different one. It happens. Trust me. It happens.
You have some problems with it. Will Utah ever win a game?
Oh, man.
They lost by 19 to Denver, who is...
I'm not an expert, but I feel like it's that 30-13 fourth quarter that really did them in.
Might have caused some problems, yeah.
Yeah. Gordon Hayward's still good.
That's nice.
Derek Favors shot over 50%. That's an improvement.
You have a big board coming out today. I've got a mock draft. That was like the first thing I mentioned was, what happens with Gordon Hayward when they draft Andrew Wiggins?
I think Wiggins is more of a 4 anyway.
You do?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Your Wolves, man, that was, they lost, and it was still like everyone walked away going like, "Wow, the Timberwolves."
I think it's just like, all right, back to back in LA. Played way too many minutes in the first game against the Lakers. They have a night out in LA, which NBA players, you know what that means. And then they just, you know, maybe this is an indictment on the Clippers, or maybe it's showing that the Wolves are kind of legit as a playoff team, or maybe it's a little of both, or maybe it's none of it. I don't know what it is, but the effort they had, they fight back, and God, like the Kevin Martin shot at the end was awful, but two putback attempts that I would have guessed 95% of the time go in. Both attempts. Like, Peck's look was good, and Kevin Love's tip, like, he had to rush it a bit because he knew he didn't have time, but I mean, you just got to walk away feeling good. Like, clearly you'd rather have the win if you're the Wolves and if you're the Wolves fans, but that was just a great effort.
Clippers gave up a 106 offensive rating to the Timberwolves, or, like, the Clippers' defensive rating was 106.
Yeah.
To a Timberwolves team on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
At home. Yeah, it was...
Peck looked great.
Finally. He shook some rust off.
Yeah, Peck has struggled against DeAndre Jordan in the past, just because that's a tough matchup for him, but he used his body so well. He was so smart about how he went up. They got a couple of cross switches with Blake Griffin on him. The last six quarters, the second half against the Lakers, and then that game last night, like, Peck looks like, all right, maybe he can learn how to fit in with the Love Martin combo.
I'm looking at some of the plus minus for their lineups. So they're plus 10 with the starters. They're plus 38 in net rating for points per 100 possessions, with Berea, Cunningham, Love, Schved, and Williams in 6 minutes. And then they have a four-minute stretch where they are outscored by 64.5 points per 100 minutes. Why did he run out that Schved, Berea, Jang, Cunningham, Derek Williams thing?
I got to believe it was you can't wear the starters down as much. I mean, they lead the that lineup leads the league in minutes, and they're on pace. I'll actually have this up on A Wolf Among Wolves later today. They're on pace to shatter, you know, what we've seen for standards with a lineup in terms of minutes. It's kind of frightening. Now, when Chase Budinger gets back, assuming he comes back healthy, Roni Turioff comes back, that will help because Adelman trusts putting those guys out there. And I think adding a healthy Chase to that second unit kind of fixes a lot of the issues with J.J. Barea and what he has and what he has to do out there, just because he has to force so much right now with that unit. I think it'll allow them to ease back a little bit. But there's also the concern of, what if Chase comes back and the knee just isn't right? You know, I mean, it's kind of a tricky area. And you have a Kevin Martin seems to miss 20 games a year. If that happens this year, they could, you know, that could be some real trouble for them.
A trade's not out of the question for this team, right?
Not out of the question, but, you know, they supposedly really like Evan Turner. But
if they're in the four seed, if they're looking at a high seed, and I'm not saying they're gonna end up this way. If it's February and nobody and like the Grizzlies haven't caught, or like the Thunder are lagging, somebody goes through like a bad spurt, and they're looking at a pretty good seed and they really want to make a playoff push, you could definitely see them trading for a bench upgrade, right?
Oh God, yeah. I think they would trade Derek Williams today for another wing on the bench.
Like Turner, I think you're not gonna be able to get value on now because he's in a situation where he's just putting up numbers.
Right, and Philly's gonna want a first round pick in 2014, and the Wolves don't really have that to offer.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just that's at a stalemate. But I know they're interested in Turner. It's finding a guy. It's just finding a wing player that someone will say, "Yeah, we'll take a flyer on Derek Williams next year for $6 million," yeah. Which isn't out of the question. I think you put him in a different system, I think he can play pretty well.
How old is Rubio?
21, 22, something like that.
Okay. How old does he have to get for me to be able to say we just accept that he just can't shoot and that's it?
I mean, you could say – oh, he's 23. You could say it now.
With that now? I'm trying to be considerate of the whole, like, he's going to improve because he's so young and he's going to get better. I'm just trying not to – like, it's just that he's so bad at the jump shot. It's just so – it's – there are guys that like, oh wow, his percentage is really terrible, and then there's guys you watch the shot and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's an inconsistent motion, which is the problem. You know, like his 3-point shot is different from his pull up jumper in mid range, and like I'm honestly not worried about it. I'm more worried about the fact that he's so inconsistent, like finishing at the rim. He struggles so much at that. That concerns me way more than him hitting a jump shot, because that is more of a problem if you can't drive to the basket and be a legitimate threat to finish.
He hit free throws, right?
Yeah, he's like 80%.
Yeah, so I mean, like, so he's fine. So like, that's the only thing is, if you don't have a jumper, that's the only concern is, if you can't hit the pull up jumper, like you have to be able to press and force the action and draw fouls in transition.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm all like his free throw motion is funky as well. I wouldn't say I'm all that confident in him as a free throw shooter every time he goes to the line, but he is a career 80% shooter.
What's a player that a point guard that would be an upgrade? What's like the next level up from him? That would be an upgrade for this team. Is Lowry better?
Lowry's better, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm not saying that they should make a. I'm not saying they should make a move at all, because I at this point I'm just kind of like, your chemistry is too good. Don't.
Oh sure.
Don't mess with it.
I mean, I think that I'm actually not opposed to making a move with Rubio.
Long term. Wow.
Well, I mean, you just have to be realistic about it. I think he can improve enough to be worth it, but if this is what he's going to be the rest of his career, that's a fantastic point guard. That's a top 10 point guard in my mind, but that also gives you some serious limitations. And so, do you want to invest a max contract in that guy? Like, I think there are actual questions about that. Now, if they do, I'm fine with it. I get it. I would support that. If they decided like, hey, we could get some real value for Rubio by moving him, getting a point guard and another player, I would get that too. I love Rubio. I want him on the team, but if the goal is to build a championship contender around Kevin Love, you know, like, I mean, that should be the goal, right? Or around whomever. Like, if you say I don't think we can do that with Rubio, like, well, then that's what you feel.
Speaking of Kevin Love,
he's good.
It's pretty good, and you know, in 2 years he's got an opt out.
Does he now? I hadn't heard that.
And I know this is crazy.
Do you think teams might want to sign him?
It's possible that certain teams, especially ones in big markets that tend to overspend on everyone. Is that, you ready?
Okay.
They might try and sign Kevin Love.
Are you talking about the Bucks?
Adrian Wojnarowski, Yahoo Sports, reports that the New York Knicks are interested in signing Kevin Love in 2015.
I've actually got a bit of breaking news. I think the Lakers are interested too.
You know, I also have some news.
Huh.
The Miami Heat would also be interested if Kevin Love were to opt out.
I do have at least one. I know we typically go two sources on this to really like break a story. I do have one source confirmed that the Wolves will want to re-sign Kevin Love if he opts out. I'm trying to get that second source, but you know, I just thought
big if true.
I know, I thought I would put it out there.
Sources tell me that CBS would be interested if.
Are they gonna put him as an analyst? He would be great.
You think of his podcast and do a better job than we are? It's gonna be him and Ethan, actually.
You put Kevin Love and Ethan on this podcast, it will be way better than any podcast out there.
My border collie can play defense. That's not a question.
That was fantastic. That moment last night was fantastic. He was like, you know, talk about you guys or your rebounding at the end, boxing out. He's just like, what? That's not a question.
Yeah, Ben Hockman is a good friend of mine. He's not the one that asked the question last night. Ben Hockman is a good friend of mine. He writes for the Denver Post. He's a columnist. And he is a master of the, can he talk a little bit about?
Oh, yeah.
And he defends it. I've been like, you realize it's like a terrible question. You really shouldn't do that. And he's like, why? And like, we've gotten these like huge debates in the press room about it, like yelling at each other.
Because it's a command.
I know. It's like, well, he's like, I ask it as a question. I say, can you?
I would just say, yeah, I could do that. Next question.
I am capable of speaking on this with authority. So anyway, look, Kevin Love is going to weigh some offers. He's probably going to get an offer from the Lakers. If the Wolves aren't positioned to win a title, he's probably going to sign with the Lakers. The end. Like, that's pretty much where we're at, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is obviously 50-50 because he either will or he won't, but I think it's 50-50. I don't think he's interested in the Knicks at all. I would guess like he either wants to stay here or he wants to go to the Lakers. And maybe if playing with LeBron in Miami is an opportunity, he would clearly do that. I don't know how that would swing, but I mean that he wouldn't pass that up. But he loves Los Angeles. Like why wouldn't he go there if he can't win here?
Part of it is Kevin Love understands how to play basketball well. He understands the things that make a good basketball team. Like he has an innate understanding of ball movement is a good thing and motion is a good thing. And pretty much everything that playing next to Carmelo Anthony is a good thing. Like, look, you can like Carmelo Anthony, and maybe one of these days Melo's going to have a tear where he just destroys everything and is so hot, nobody can stop him, and he wins a title. And if so, that's awesome. It's going to be like so many players that never won a title. It's going to be a victory for, like, Allen Iverson and, like, lots of these guys that were in that mold. It's possible. Yeah. Melo's so talented.
You know what I just thought of? Like, I really could see him kind of going Dirk. Like, not saying he's the same type of player as Dirk, but I could see him going Dirk for a playoff run.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That would honestly be fun.
Dirk was a soft Euro who couldn't defend or rebound.
There were people that said Dirk wasn't clutch. Like, actual NBA analysts that said Dirk wasn't clutch before that playoff run, which is insane.
Yeah. You know, I could definitely – if you build – I mean, well, part of that, though, is also – well, I mean, a lot of it, I think Dirk's always been willing to make the right play, which I think is a big difference.
Right.
I could see him doing that. I mean, I still think if you put the right team around him, I've continued to say this. With Melo, I just think you have to get an alpha dog point guard. If Paul had not wound up with the Clippers, if he just entered free agency and the Knicks hadn't capped out and they'd been able to sign Paul, that would have been perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
He needs Chris Paul.
Absolutely.
Like, Chris Paul would be like, no. Like, Melo would be like, okay, I'm in the block. Give it to me. No, move your ass. Get open. I'll throw it to you. You will score. This is not hard.
Yeah. Hey, did you see that fall or the foul last night, or the strip when Chris Paul took it away from Corey Brewer on the break?
I don't want to fight with you about this. I thought it was. I think it's a 50-50 call.
Okay.
I will say it wasn't the elbow to the head. I just thought that Brewer was moving his arm sideways, parallel to the basket, or not parallel, perpendicular to the basket, and Paul came over, and I just think he swatted the elbow in the arm when he grabbed the ball. That's all.
Okay, that's fair. I looked at it, and I thought, because people were freaking out, like, and, you know, pretending that cost the Wolves a game. And I was just like, it looked pretty clean. Like, in real time when it happened, I thought, how are they not calling that? And then the replay, it looked clean enough to me. I'll say that. Like,
if a player falls, as a fan, you're instinctively going
to
freak out.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, it looked clean enough to be a fine no call. I would have actually – someone brought this up, or a few people brought this up. They said, well, what about a jump ball? I think actually a jump ball is the correct call there. I would have been fine with that.
I think he fouled him. I think he got him on the arm, and I just think that it was an awkward angle for him to make a clean strip of, because you basically have to, like, reach in and then yoink it out, and his arm is going over on top of it, and you have to avoid Brewer's right elbow. It just looked awkward to me, and I was like, I don't see how you could have gotten that clean. But I mean,
I'm surprised the refs saw it the way they saw. You know, they saw it as clean because I think most of the time you're anticipating contact there, and I wonder how much of that was. Well, Corey Brewer always looks like he's out of control.
Yeah,
and if a player is out of control, that, you know, the refs will kind of not give them the benefit of the doubt.
I do love that Brewer's playing so well for this team, though.
God, he's playing. He is playing so well.
I tried telling people last year, and you knew, like, you saw it last year.
Yeah.
He's a good NBA player now.
He really is, and it's not like, does he have flaws? He absolutely has flaws. He still can't shoot. He's out of.
Yeah, it's like the Wolves are perfect because it's like, man, he's a small forward that can't shoot. That's okay. Their power forward can hit from anywhere on the goddamn floor.
Right, and their shooting guard right now is in Fuego. He's shooting 55% on threes, taking over five a game.
The 2008 me that loved the Kevin Martin with the Kings is just like clapping his hands giddily this season.
I really like – some people say I'm just being biased now or anything. I think – I don't know. I think you know me pretty well enough to know that I'd rather be correct than biased because I'm that big of a snob. But I think – like I used to hate Kevin Martin. I really did. Like he bugged me. He really bugged me. I didn't like his attitude. I didn't really like his game. But he fits with this team so well that I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's they're really fun to watch, and it's gonna be exciting. There's a bunch of playoff teams in the West that I love watching.
I wish we could expand it to like a 12 team playoff for the West.
And here's the thing: if the Clippers were two years ago, I'd be like, "Oh, this team's so much fun because it's refreshing." I'm so used to them now.
Yeah.
That mostly with the Clippers, I'm just kind of like, okay, I've kind of seen this. Like, I'm waiting for. There's some stuff that I like that they do. I love watching Paul in the pick and pop. I wish he had a better partner for that. Like I think Blake is doing everything he can to get there. It's just he's not David West. That's okay.
Right. He's not there. But I think something we should talk about another day because we kind of we should move on at some point. But Blake Griffin's playing awesome basketball right now.
Yeah.
He really
is. He's been great. DeAndre's been great. Doc Rivers has had the effect desired on everyone except the defense. That's the only area that hasn't come around yet. And there's time for that.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. Jamal Crawford shooting 46% from three this year. 100% on three-quarter court heaves.
I was about to say, 100% on three-quarter shots. So the big games tonight actually aren't in the NBA.
No, they're not in the NBA.
For all of your coverage for Duke, Kansas, and Kentucky, Michigan State, you're going to want to check out at Ion College Basketball. They've got a blog, Matt Norlander, Gary Parrish, Jeff Barzella. They'll have coverage of everything going on. Parrish is in Chicago for this for Duke, Kansas, which is like Armageddon. For NBA fans, though, if you're listening to this, you're an NBA fan. Let's see. One, two. There's what?
There's 16 guys, right?
I think there's like 10 solid possible first round draft picks playing tonight. Those two games, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
not bad.
It's okay.
We're not going to talk about the actual results of the games because I don't think either of us really care.
No, I really don't care what happens. I just want to watch NBA prospects.
I think you and I are in the same place on this. He's number one on your big board. He's number one on my mock draft. Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. I want to make this very clear. Andrew Wiggins can be an absolutely phenomenal NBA player and not go number one in this draft. If he doesn't go number one in this draft, there are a bunch of reasons why it could not happen. Is Andrew Wiggins number one? Not so fast is like the hottest thing out
there. Right, yeah. It's oh my God. It drives me crazy. Like I don't think any GM would pass up on him number one unless he just absolutely crapped the bed this year. And even then, I find it hard to believe. Like I think they believe the hype. I think Julius Randle is a more than worthy, competitor to take that spot. But with all the hype and all the, the play that we're starting to see with him, I don't think he'll go two. I think he's going one, no matter who gets the pick.
I love hype. I love hype.
You really do?
I just love it. I like getting excited about things.
Yeah.
And so I like things that feel big and important to me because otherwise I'm just kind of – it's. I want things to feel important because otherwise it's just another season, and I don't like that. I like things to feel important, and that's how I get through my life. So I'm big on hype, but here's kind of the deal. Wiggins' decision to go to Kansas was the worst thing in the world for his hype because Bill Self, what he doesn't do is he doesn't develop hype. Yeah. He teaches you how to win.
Yeah.
Bill Self is going to make a better basketball team and a better basketball player out of Andrew Wiggins, but he's not going to make a better prospect out of him than John Calipari will.
I agree with that.
Andrew Wiggins will learn more about teamwork, how to work an offensive system, how to win games, how to play defense, and how to be a better overall player. He will not look as good as a prospect because John Calipari is a master at making guys look great.
He got Daniel Orton a first round draft selection.
Yeah. But I mean that's not to say that the guys that come out of Kentucky aren't as good as they are. Good God, look at them. John Wall, Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis, like all these kids. Absolutely amazing, right?
They're really good.
But that's what Calipari does. That's why I like John Calipari so much, is he focuses on making these guys into the best prospects that they can be, so they get the draft stock up, and it helps these kids just get more money, which I think is good.
And
these kids come from hard circumstances.
Yeah, and I don't mean this pejoratively. I think actually this is a compliment. Like, he's also very good at feeding the hype machine with these guys.
Yeah, he is. They have a great machine, and Big Blue Nation helps with that because it's an amazing fan base.
Yeah,
I will say this though. I'm getting really effing excited about Jabari Parker.
He's good.
So good.
He's really good.
Did you see the jump step move?
Oh, God, yeah. Jabari Parker is going to be an afterthought, I think, in this draft on draft night. And I think in the first couple of months of his rookie season, it's going to be like, holy crap. Why weren't we talking about this guy more?
See, I really think he's going to get back in the top three. I think that people soured on him for various reasons.
I think he'll get in the top three, but I still think he can be an afterthought in the top three. Yeah. You know, it's going to be Wiggins, it's going to be Randall, and there's nothing wrong with, like, those guys are awesome. You know, they're probably going to be better than Parker. I don't know, but Parker's going to be a hell of a consolation prize.
The key, I think, with Parker is going to be how much he handles the ball, because he's actually a forward that can handle.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I think, a big part of it, is whether or not he can actually run as point forward.
I don't know how familiar you are with Rodney Hood, the transfer from Mississippi State to Duke. But I was watching highlights of his last night as I was doing a draft, mock draft big board thing for CBS, and I was just watching him like, oh, I'm going to love this guy, and it's going to drive Matt crazy.
Flash forward to 2 years from now. He's not good. He's great. Get off of him. So I'm big on Parker. Randall, it's funny because I actually hadn't read the Beasley comparisons that apparently you have, because you mentioned it in your big board.
Yeah.
But I actually had – that's funny because watching him, I was like, wow, this kid reminds me a lot of Beasley.
Yeah.
At K-State.
Yeah, you can see a lot of similarities, and it's none of the baggage, at least as far as we know right now.
He's really strong.
Yeah.
It may be one differential, and it's hard to tell at college level, but he looks very strong. And that's a big thing. Like, I think for forwards, because I mean, a lot of this is there's a lot of forwards that I think that there could be some concern that there's a lot of tweeners, and that could be problematic. But there's so many guys with such great strength too.
Yeah, I agree with that. How do you feel about Wayne Selvin? Because I am unbelievably high on Wayne Selvin.
I'm really high on him too. I think it's crazy that they've got both these guys. They got two forwards that are just absolutely sick.
Yeah, I look at him and I marvel. I'm like, this guy is going to translate at the NBA level perfectly.
I'm not sure that I like him necessarily as like, I like Wiggins as like an all-star caliber guy. I'm not sure I like Selvin as much of an all-star. I love him as like, wow, they've got a really quality small forward in Selvin. I think that he translates really well. I agree with the translation. I don't know if I agree that, or if I think that he's going to be like a take guy.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're the same type of player, but maybe the same type of way we look at like a Thaddeus Young. Like, holy crap, that guy's good. Is he an all-star, all-NBA guy? No, but holy crap, is he good.
And when I watched him, I noted more his speed and elusiveness, and that he may have more power than I've seen. I need to watch a little bit more of him. I actually thought maybe like a Mega Batum.
Oh, so, yeah, I like that. He's got stupid good body control.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at his body control.
I noticed that too.
Aside from outside shooting and an affinity for chucking, like, I've really started becoming kind of in love with body control, and I think it has to do entirely with Kyrie Irving. Because I'm just – guys who can control their body around the basket, I'm just like, oh, you do it for me.
Harrison Twins can do a lot for their stock tonight by having a good game.
Definitely. Andrew
they can probably – I think they can jump, because right now, you know, that Kansas center is getting a lot of play. It's Embiid, I believe.
Embiid, yeah. He's I think it's just going to be like, look, we can turn this guy into an all-star. I'm already
it's a little raw.
He's really raw, but I think that's going to be the thing. It's going to be like, look, this guy can be, you know, maybe it's how teams looked at Andrew Bynum when he came out of high school, of just like, we can turn this guy into something.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I had the same kind of comparison. The only thing I've come to is it's not that you can't. Everybody wants to make it in absolutes, right? You say, oh, like, project centers, they never work out. And like, well, what about this guy and this guy? It's like, no. But here's my thing. What is your percentage of conversion from raw prospect center to established NBA superstar versus talented, multifaceted wing into NBA superstar?
Oh,
It's a much
certainly.
higher
Yeah,
percentage, you
but
know?
he's high on my draft board, and I think he's high on a lot of boards just because I think people are looking at him saying, this guy's going to get drafted really high because of how he looks.
Yeah, I mean he's six on mine. I got the
Yeah.
Lakers taking him. Okay, so I should probably mention that because people are gonna be freaking out. Like, how'd you get a draft order? I use SRS on the basketball reference board, which factors strength of schedule and point differential. I just wanted a model. I wasn't even looking for one that was necessarily accurate. I chose this one because I was like, this gives you something that's gonna be at least on some level. It's going to be reflective at some points. There's points where it's going to be completely off. I mostly wanted a model to be like, all right, let's put these teams in a situation where they have to make a decision. What do they do? What prospects are most compelling in these different types of situations? That to
Sure.
me, it was more of a hypothetical situation rather than some sort of estimation of, oh, well, you can definitely tell that the Jazz are like, the Jazz could wind up winning like 35 games this year. I don't think that's
Although
going
it's not
to happen.
looking great.
But it could end up happening. There's no way of knowing. I just needed a model in order to do it because the strength of my ability to have input is from the perspective of what I know of NBA rosters, how their front offices tend to operate in terms of patterns, and what the prospects look like in relation to those. That was the kind of the model. Who's like your is Selden like your pet? Who's like your pet prospect?
Yeah, I really love Selden. I think
Mine's Aaron Gordon.
Gordon's going to be fun, really fun. I think for
He's
me
like the prototypical. He's like the prototypical Matt prospect. Hyper athletic wing, like combo forward. Hyper athletic combo forward. Don't know where he's gonna play in the NBA. Yep, that's my guy.
I think Selden's probably my guy just 'cause I feel like he's much lower than he should be. I'm really worried. I mean, there's not a lot of film on him, but just what I saw of Dante Exum,
Yeah.
I'm not, I just the more I look at him, the less of a fan I am. Same with Marcus Smart, like I've kind of soured on him. I think maybe Gary Harris is probably like my mid first round sleeper guy that I think is going to be really good.
I like him a lot too. I like Samaj Kirstein too.
Yes, very much so. I love a big quick point guard.
I don't like Mario Hinzoha. I guess it's Hinzosha because he's Croatian.
Yeah, I think like the cool thing with him is just he's such a dynamic shooter. You know, I do worry that he's like a bigger JJ Barea, which isn't an insult, but is that who you want with a lottery pick?
Right.
You know, that type of player, that style of player. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about Doug McDermott. I just love shooters. And that guy, oh my God.
Breaking.
That guy's just lethal from outside.
I'm not giving up on James McAdoo. I refuse. I'm not giving up on him. He's too talented.
He could be a decent big man in the league. Like if he was the Jason Thompson role for somebody, let's pretend like a Jason Thompson role in a franchise that had a definite direction. Would you be comfortable with that kind of ceiling for him?
Yeah.
That's a solid player, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't tell you how much I dislike watching Isaiah Austin.
Baylor.
He's awful. He sucks. Someone like you're someone some fan base out there, your team's gonna take him in the first round. You're gonna talk yourself into him. He sucks. He's not
It's
good.
crazy to me that Billy Donovan produced Al Horford, Corey Brewer, and Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
And Patrick Young has just descended into terribleness. Like that kid started out as like a 13 on most boards,
Yeah.
between 13 and 11, and now if he gets drafted, it's going to be a win.
I like him. I just, you know, it...
I still like him. I think he's got. I mean, you know me. If you're a center with a hook shot, I fall in love with you.
Oh,
I'm just
absolutely.
like, because there's so many that can't. So many centers with that hook shot.
You know
It's
who's
impressive.
interesting prospect is Alex Poitras.
Yeah.
Just because he was, I mean, people were so high on him last year, and now is anybody talking about him? Like, I know he had a bad year, but I don't know. It's crazy how much he's fallen in that one year.
I like a bunch of guys on this Duke team. By the way, you mentioned Gary Harris. Yeah. I've got him going to the Grizzlies because I saw 41% from three-point land. And was like, done.
He can stroke it. He's got amazing body control, too. Love his body control.
Done.
I like Jahi Carson. I think that's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Like him a lot.
There's so many good
James Young. I'm falling for James Young, and I don't know why.
I mostly am just like, well, he's a Wildcat, so... Get that for me. Okay, who has the best? Let's make a stupid prediction. Who's going to have the best night tonight?
Randall.
His prospect.
Randall.
Okay.
I think Randall. Well, that's an interesting matchup when he's out there and Adrian Payne's out there. Payne could really screw up some things for him. Now I'll still say Randall. I think we're going to get
Jabari
a story.
Jabari Parker's coming home.
Yeah, that could be good. That could be a really good one. I think that we're going to get on some kick pretty soon of people are going to start saying Andrew Wiggins is overrated and that Julius Randle's the – I mean, I know that's already started, but and like Julius Randle should be regarded as the best prospect. I think we're going to get that storyline pretty quickly.
Wiggins needs to score 25 points tonight or he's going to be labeled as a bust.
Yeah, and I just –
that's the expectations on this kid.
Like his game is just so – so NBA and so not college basketball to me, you know?
Yep. You mean needs to play with guys that can shoot and needs to play with guys that can run pick and roll?
Right. It needs to play with guys who are good basketball players.
Yeah. Okay, let's do NBA games real quick.
Yeah, we have a short slate tonight. Not a lot going on.
Where are you, picks? Okay. For the year, on 53-50-3... 500 is creeping back up on me. You're 21-32-1.
Hey, coming back.
Yeah, don't call it a comeback. the Heat line has opened up to 13.5. Larry Sanders is out 6 weeks after having surgery on his thumb that was injured when he did not tuck away that thumb when he broke the bottle.
Yeah, we talked about that. Just the basic form you have to have when swinging a bottle. It sucks to see a guy not develop that early in his career and it ends up hurting him.
You know, if he'd grown up in redneck towns like I did and in places with lots of really crappy bars, he probably would have, you know, had that experience.
Has he never seen Roadhouse? Come on, Larry.
I've got the Heat. I took the Bucks initially, and I've gone back and taken the Heat. It's a high line. Miami's been really shaky. I don't like either side of this. I just think that LeBron came out and said, we've been defensively.
Yeah.
And usually when LeBron says, all right, guys, that's enough, they respond.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the thing that maybe is tripping you and I up is this subconscious thing of, hey, the Bucks always play them well.
Yeah.
You know, and they do, but it's a different Bucks team than what we're used to seeing with that. And with no Larry Sanders, you know, I think it could be competitive, but I think ultimately the Heat pull away. Yeah, I'll take the Heat.
They're not a really fast team.
Right.
In terms of just actual, like, their players aren't very fast.
Right.
And I think it's going to cause them problems with Miami, especially, like, I mean, you know, if Miami kicks it up defensively and gets the flying death machine on, they could really run it up.
Yeah, and it's going to – for the Bucks to cover in this game, it's going to take a big game from Caron Butler. And it's not that that's not possible. It's just, you know, is it likely?
Yeah, Caron Butler, Zaza Pachulia – I like Nate Walters, but God, if they run a pick and roll and get a LeBron switch on him, the kid's gonna die. It's gonna be like an eclipse.
I've never seen a murder on live TV before. That could be fun.
Yes, you have. DeAndre on night.
Oh, that's right. Oh man.
Also, by the way, Quincy Acey's block last night on Dwight Howard was one of my favorite things.
Quincy Acey is officially a man, by the way. He's in that Jeff Adrian territory.
He's a man. The Mavericks are 5.5-point favorites versus the Wizards. Open at 6.5, it's down to 5.5.
I love this Mavericks team. I'll lay the points.
Yeah, I'm laying them too. The Mavericks are 3-0 against the spread at home. Wizards are 2-1 as a dog on the road, but I feel like the Wizards gave Oklahoma City such a run the other night that I don't think they're going to have enough left in the tank for another road matchup. And Dallas is just really good at home, and Dallas is confident right now. I think it's going to take a – if Dallas falls apart, it's going to be one of those where the dredge of the season gets to them and they're unable to get out of that gear. They get stuck in a rut. But right now, it's like everything is fresh and clean and new, and Monte Ellis is making us reconsider everything we've known about analytics, about hundreds of players and thousands of players over the years, apparently.
Whoa. What is this? He's playing really well. Like he's kind of changed the way he's playing. Like he still can't hit threes, but
no, he is. I don't understand the idea that like because he's having a good start to the season that all of a sudden all analytics need to be questioned.
Well,
like,
no. Well, yeah. I think
he was bad before. Like he was bad before.
Right. Analytics, he was really bad before. He's changed the way he's played. Like Rick Carlisle hasn't played smarter basketball. It has nothing to do with analytics. That's just coaching.
The question I guess is he changing the way that he's playing, or did he simply have a Zach Randolph moment?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, I actually took this to heart when I had Skin Wade on, and he talked about how one of the first things Carlisle did is started working on shooting with Monte Ellis, which, you know, most veterans wouldn't do. But if getting back to like basics or the kind of tactics a smart coach like Carlisle is working on with him, I think you can kind of start breaking down those barriers of what he thinks is good basketball, and you can kind of start remolding him into the system you want to use. Now, it's not to say he's not going to start chucking shots at some point, but I think that kind of like it's probably a different approach than what other coaches have tried, right?
Yeah, he's been bad defensively, not Ellis. He's been bad defensively, but Samuel Dalembert, I've been really impressed offensively.
Yeah,
he's converting the shots that he needs to convert, and it gives him a huge advantage.
Yeah, it's huge.
Hopefully Vince Carter will not elbow anyone in the head tonight. The Warriors are 9-point favorites at the Roracle versus a Pistons team that's on a road West Coast back-to-back.
I am very much setting myself up to be trolled here, but you're getting Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings into a 3-point contest with this Warriors team. I think you can trick them into that. I'll take the Warriors and lay the points.
Yeah, I'm laying the points as well because I talked about this on the picks segment this morning on video. When the Warriors win, they tend to win huge.
Yeah.
Like, this is a team that loves to blow teams out.
Yeah.
They love blowing teams out. Mark Jackson is, like, 100% about blow this team out of the water. Like, run it up. And so I could definitely, like, that's the thing is, 9 is a question mark if you're in a game where, especially in situations where it's like, well, yeah, it's like a comfortable 15-point lead. But they kind of take the pedal off, and the Pistons manage to backdoor cover. The Warriors are one where, oh, they're up 15. Keep shooting! Shoot more! Sweep the leg. This line makes no sense to me. Like, I love the Pelicans. I really like watching them. I'm mad at them for sucking early on. They are 3-point favorites in LA versus the Lakers tonight.
That doesn't make sense to you? What doesn't make sense to you about that?
Okay, a couple things. One, beating teams, it's essentially, you know, at 3, it's essentially like winner. It's not pick 'em, but it's awfully close to pick 'em.
Sure.
And it opened at 2, stretched to 3. Beating a team twice in a week is really hard.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen this consistently. It's tough to do, right?
Right. Because
you get pissed off that you lost the last one, you make an adjustment, which makes the Magic losing to the Celtics twice in a week all the more embarrassing. The Lakers are great at home. Okay. Steve Nash is out, so you get a rally because we're now down Kobe and Nash.
And, I mean, the way that he's been playing, getting more minutes for Jordan Farmar and Steve Blake out there, it's probably a good thing.
It's actually a good thing?
Yeah.
Pau Gasol can't possibly have another bad game like that. He's got to have a good game at some point.
Sure. It's unlikely he's going to have bad games the rest of his career. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's unlikely. So I look at those factors, and I don't know why. This should either be a pick 'em, or I would probably put it at Lakers -1.
Okay. I'm taking the Lakers.
Me too.
What?
I'm taking them to win.
What?
I'm taking the Lakers to win by 5.
Wow. Going against your Pelicans.
They can't. They're terrible on the road. This has all the makings of a Pelicans poop on themselves game.
Well, now I kind of want to take the Pelicans just to spite you.
Like, I like the Pelicans, but they have not shown mental toughness at all.
I feel like we're getting a big Xavier Henry game tonight.
I'm also waiting for Vegas. I'm waiting to get Vegas zone. Oh no, Powell's gonna sit. Powell's out. Jordan Farmar's. I was gonna make some sort of, because he's, you know, he's Jewish and Israeli, and I was gonna make some sort of like bar mitzvah or some sort of joke like that. And I was like, I don't know the culture well enough. I'll just end up insulting people. I don't want to do that.
That's a good. That's a good. You were going for the heat check, and then you called a timeout.
Pulled up, and ran the clock out. Xavier Henry had a nice 2 weeks, and then that's over.
It's over?
It's over.
Oh, no, he's going to have a big game tonight. He's going for 34 tonight.
The best thing in the world would be if pregame Kobe came back.
Ooh.
That'd be great.
He's not going to, right?
Mostly because I'm not working, so I wouldn't have to write about it.
Yeah, that's I am working, so let's just not do that. Kobe, let's take another night off. I'm at the Target Center tomorrow night. Come back tomorrow night.
I was on a roll last week. The lines this week have been hard for me. I've had a tough time. It's been shaky the last couple of days.
Well, I'd also say the games have not been great.
Yeah, it's starting to kind of – we're getting more into the, you know, more into the drudge of the regular season. It's still – things are still fresh, but it's also things are – it's like a weird mix of the drudgery plus – a lot of confusion and ups and downs.
You know what I'm really excited about is tomorrow. We're going to have to do like a bumper where I have to record a bumper at some point if you're available, because I just want to hear you pick the Bobcats Celtics game tomorrow.
Deal. We'll do it. Okay. I'll get up extra early.
We'll find a way.
We'll have prospect breakdowns for the games in college tonight. We'll have nightly grades and gifts and all the madness for that. As well, tomorrow, Royce Young has your weekly trends. Do you have a guest for tomorrow?
Locking down not a friend of this program, but a friend of old programs that I'm pretty excited to talk to.
Teaser.
Yeah. He might not be able to do it till Friday's episode, so we're still working it out, but definitely he will be on this week.
I like how I ask you every time, like, oh, do you have a guest for tomorrow? And you're always like, well, we'll see. I got a guy that I'm talking to. It'd be like if Jimmy Kimmel or – I'm sorry, not Jimmy Kimmel. Who's Jimmy Kimmel? David Letterman was like, tomorrow we'll probably have somebody.
We might have Miley Cyrus. We might not.
Odds are there'll be a guest. I'll probably talk to someone on this show. Oh, okay. It's been an hour. We need a graceful exit way. How do we get out of this one?
Rudy Gay, shoot us out.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.